And this is what Daryl Croak had to say about why it's so important for all of us to be there. Daryl, you're a AEU regional representative. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about what that entails for you?
Yeah, so I'm a rank and file member of the AEU. I'm the sub-branch president of my school. So that's like a union rep or a union delegate or old school shop steward. And I'm the president of the Broadmeadows region. So we cover schools from Pasca Vale all the way up to up north, all the way up to Mount Ridley, North Craigieburn. So that's so we have meetings a couple of times a term. I'm speaking today in a personal capacity, and I want to exercise my right to advocate for better funding arrangements and my community and better working conditions as a member of the AEU.
Because the slow distribution by the government of public funds for public schools has had a detrimental effect on your working life, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, just to make it really clear, so there was an arrangement called Gonski, which promised, so Gonski said, if you give X amount of dollars, this is what it would take to get every student up to a minimum standard of literacy and numeracy. Now, that promise was made to us. There's been a delay.
That was about a decade ago, wasn't it?
That was a decade ago. So we're $2.4 billion delay. And what that significantly means that for in Victoria, every student in Victoria receives about $1,300 less than students in public schools in other territories, states. So what this means is that we've got our class sizes could be smaller. We could be actually having more hours, less face-to-face hours. So we'd be having more hours to actually prepare work for students, and we'd be having more hours actually, to actually assess students. So at the moment, each teacher in Victoria on average is probably working at least 10 hours unpaid overtime. And we've got principals are probably in excess of 20 hours unpaid overtime.
And of course, it's been pointed out that the students, they can't wait for this money, can they?
No, they can't. So look, what that money pans out to be, this is affecting the most disadvantaged students disproportionately. So there's a very strong correlation between results and economic background. So we really need money going into the public system, the money to help working class kids and kids in regional areas. So they're not getting the literacy support or the numeracy support they need. In fact, it gets worse. There's a program was put in place called the TLI program, the Tutor Learning Initiative. It was brought in COVID to help those kids that were falling through the gaps. The government's just slashed that. So it's not just a matter of them cutting, not coming through the promise they made a decade ago, but they've actually been cutting funding for crucial programs. In my school, we're facing a funding shortfall of $360,000. That's really designed to help the most disadvantaged kids.
Public schools have been separated from each other in a way because they're supposed to be running as sort of almost autonomous businesses, right?
Yeah, no, look, we get so much money from the government for funding, and there's a set of figures to do that. Now, they do run autonomously. There's a degree of separation there, but funnily enough, we all suffer the same cuts. So,
yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's what, it's not as if our school has the capacity to go out and raise funds from the community.
Or that it should.
Yeah, or that it should as well. And you have to understand as well is because of the government's strategy with a whole series of things that it's making it hard. So what, you know, we see this every day. It means that we're under a lot of stress, and it means we're doing a good job in our school. We're doing a good job in all public schools, that we just can't help the kids that we need to be helping in the way that we need to help them. It's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, well, it must be really frustrating. And also, I was wondering, are all the spots for teachers being filled? Are there any gaps?
Oh, look, there's huge gaps. And the more economically deprived, or the further you get out from Melbourne, the harder it is to fill staff. So we have had a lot of missed classes. So we've had situations where Students have been sent home in my region. We've had situations where students have been supervised in the gym. We've had teachers who are effectively working over allotment, so you're only supposed to work 18.5 hours face to face. We've had teachers working over that because the choice is we either send kids home. So it's we do have a big teacher shortfall. We've also got a lot of teachers working way out of field. So for instance, you might be an English teacher, you might end up having to teach maths or something very, very specialised. So there is there's a huge teacher shortage at the moment because of the conditions we're facing, because of the pay that we're facing as well.
What you're hoping to do is that your employer, the public service, the government, will actually start loosening the purse strings and let some of that money flow through that it's been promised.
Yeah, like a couple of things need to happen. Like the AU federally have put out a plan, you know, outlined a fairly detailed plan about how to boost our conditions to actually attract more teachers. So it's about keeping the teachers in the system, and it's also about attracting more teachers. So there's step number one. We need to significantly improve our paying conditions to attract more and keep more teachers. And then we need to make sure that the funding that we should be getting is actually flowing into our schools. Unfortunately, what's happening at the moment is that a lot of parents are making a choice to send their kids to private schools because they believe that under the private system they get a better education. So the fact that schools are underfunded sort of becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the less students you're coming into a school, that's the less funding you get for your school. So that needs to change. We need to have, you know, public education as the first choice that parents make. And they'll be making that choice if schools are properly funded.
Just to give you an opportunity to actually tell people why public schooling is so important.
Well, it's important that we educate the population. It's important that people are critical thinkers and that they exist in a democracy, and we can make those choices and we educate everyone properly. I mean, I think that's really, really important. It's about equity. You know, why should a postcode determine the quality of the school that you actually attend? I mean, it's an outrageous proposition. And it's really important that everyone, you know, gets that opportunity and actually learns about the world that they're actually living in at the moment. And I think, you know, it's crucial that we do this.
It's interesting because it was pointed out to me that the public school system that was set up in Victoria was very early in the piece. It was in the 19th century, and it was a groundbreaking distribution of schooling across the state to everybody. And when the politician who was involved in making that happen died, there were people lining the streets of Melbourne to follow his hearse. That's how important it was to the people at that time.
Yeah, and you also have to understand that the demand for public education was a working class demand and a union demand. You go to Trades Hall, you can see how important the unions were as setting up the cultural institutions like the hospitals, like the schools, like RMIT, etc. So this is something that, you know, it's a cultural asset, and we need to make sure we maintain it rather than the situation where we're pitting the community against each other with whether you're going to send your kids to a private or public school. That should be happening. As I said, schools should be properly funded. So, you know, every student gets the best deal that they can. Like, I'd love what we've got in Finland, where it's just government schools. You send your kid to the local government school, and that's it. If there's a problem with the school, you get involved in the school council and you fix it up.
One of the things, one of the reasons for why we were having this chat is because there's been a rally called for Wednesday, November the 12th, outside Anthony Cambine's MP's office at 149 Burgundy Street.
Yeah, that's right. That's at 4:30. Now, that's also, it's on the bus route of 513, 514, 546 and 903. It's also just around the corner from Heidelberg Station. Really, really important that people turn up. And it's really important that your listeners turn up, you know, the progressive leaders in the community turn up and get behind our struggle. We're $2.4 billion delay in funding. Now, the government's not going to give that up without some sort of, you know, real community support. So we need to build the streets, we need to build the halls, we need to have public meetings. It's a social justice issue. Taking $2.4 billion out of working class communities is a social justice issue, and we really need the community, you know, to get behind actions that we actually take. If people want to keep in contact with what the AU is doing, I sort of encourage people to have a look at the AU Facebook page to keep up to date. If there's parents out here listening, please get involved in your local school council. Reach out to the local AU rep at your school, have a talk to them, find out what the issues are. That's really, really important.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
And that was Daryl Croke. He's the AEU, the Australian Education Union Regional Rep for that area. And he's telling people about a rally protesting the delay in funding of $2.4 billion for public schools in Victoria. There's going to be a rally outside Anthony Carbine MP's office, 149 Burgundy Street, Heidelberg, 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And as Daryl said, there's the train, there's the buses, there's ways of getting there, and they would love all of us to be there.